Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father to many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. It's almost like a throwaway line. Paul's talking about Abraham and the spirit of Abraham and the people of Abraham, and he throws in this little line about God, and that totally grabs hold of me. But I thought, well, you know, I need to give you a bit of context about that. But isn't a fantastic thing just to get hold of that? If you, all you get today is that this is our God, the God who gives life to the dead and brings something out of nothing. Isn't that good?
Yes.
The God who brings something out of nothing. So we need to remember. We need to remember who we are. There is a word here about our identity. Paul is speaking to a church which is mixed. So he's got Jewish believers and he's got Gentile believers. And the Jews know that they are the children of Abraham. That is one of their core beliefs. You know, we follow Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is a core belief of the Jews. But he's talking to Gentiles. He's talking to people from a pagan background. He's talking to those from an Italian background, well, they wouldn't, you know, Roman background, but also slaves from across the known world, Gauls and Britons and Belgi, people from North Africa. That's the church in Rome in the AD 60s. And he's saying, you too are the children of Abraham. In fact, he uses this really specific Greek word. He doesn't use the word son, because that's how the Jews saw themselves, very male, patriarchal society. I'm a son of Abraham. That's half of us in this room. Sons of Abraham. Shall we celebrate, boys? But do you ever feel a little bit left out if you're a woman? Slightly, over the years, you know, over the decades, over the centuries. Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't do sons of Abraham. He uses the word sperma. Sorry. Only me then? Sorry, if you're visiting, it is always like this. Seed, it means seed. And Paul is saying, you are the seed of Abraham. That's different. It's not about masculinity and maleness. It's about belonging. It's not about gender. It's about belonging. Remember who you are. He's saying to these people from all over the globe, he's saying, you are the seed of Abraham. Now, if you know anything about your Old Testament, you know in Genesis, God promises Abraham all sorts of things. Well, actually, they're all within this, within a parameter. He's saying, I promise you land, and I promise you people. I promise you will be the father of nations. I promise to bless you and to prosper you. I promise amazing stuff. And he says it over and over again. It's a promise on Abraham's life. And if you think about that, think about the children of Abraham. There's only two tribes, really, that come from the children of Abraham. There's the Jews and the Arabs. They can trace their ancestry back to Abraham. And Paul in Romans says, but you know what? That prophecy that God brings to Abraham is fulfilled in the church, in the people sitting here, in our ancestry. What is our ancestry? My ancestry is not, as far as I know, in the Middle East. It's the Vikings. At least it's the Geordies. Actually, they're quite scary, aren't they? It's the Northern Irish. It's the West African. It's the Southern Irish. I mean, Scousers, nobody really from Lancashire here, is there? All from, you know, what a mixed race the Scousers are. And Paul says, this is who you are. Remember who you are. You are children of Abraham. And if you do that thing with your kids like we used to do, at Sunday lunch, you'd go, oh, what did you learn today? And you might go, oh, I learned that I was a child of Abraham. And what difference does that make to you on Monday morning in work? Because actually, it might be a nice theological point, but does it make any difference? I finished my sermon, and at 10 o'clock last night, I was like, it's just not good enough. Because that's where I got to. And I was thinking, so what? So what? I mean, you know, if somebody says to, it might help you if you work with people from a Jewish background or a Muslim background, because they both would claim Abraham as their father. That's a great conversation starter, isn't it? Hey, you know what the Bible says? It says, I too am a child of Abraham. That's quite interesting. But other than that, I was like, oh, it's not that good. Lord, do I need to start again? And I was, match of the day was coming on in Newcastle 1. So I had half an hour to start again. And then I read verse 16 again. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Guaranteed. So if you are a child of Abraham, you get the inheritance. Now, somebody has to die to get an inheritance. I'm not pointing at Johnny. I'm pointing at the communion. Somebody has to die. Jesus dies so that we can be included in the family of Abraham, so that we can get the inheritance. And what is the inheritance? We have a God who calls the dead to life and into being things that are not so that they are. That's the inheritance. That's a bit more exciting, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Come on. Remember your identity in God. You are a child of Abraham. And that child, because you are a child of Abraham, you get the inheritance of Almighty God. His grace, his salvation, the fact that you can know Jesus and be saved for eternity, but also that you can know him now, the power in the name of Jesus. Remember, our identity is in God. And remember, God is faithful to his family. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about family. And he's saying God is faithful to his family. Most of us in this room would put our families first before anybody else. It's a natural thing, isn't it, in our lives? You put your family first. Sometimes the accusation, especially of religious pastors and priests and vicars, is that sometimes we put the church first. Our kids go, come on, what about me? We need to put our families first. Paul's saying, if you're of the seed of Abraham, then God puts you first because you're part of the family. I was quite excited by that. Abraham believes God, and it is credited to him as righteousness. That's what the scripture says. Abraham believes God, and it is credited, can't even say the word, credited to him as righteousness. He gets something because of his belief. He's not circumcised when God says this. He's not following the law. The law is not written when God says this. He's just chasing after God. He's not perfect. Read Genesis 16. He's a dodgy character with all sorts of foibles. And yet God says, you're righteous because of faith. And we are his children if we do the same. This is the God who calls the things that are not as though they were. Remember, your identity is in God. And remember, God is faithful to his family. You know, for Abraham, he gets disheartened, doesn't he? There are times in his life where he is disheartened, where life is difficult. There's times when he really goes off the boil with God. He pretends his wife's his sister and all sorts of weird stuff. And yet God is faithful to him, even when he is unfaithful to God. God is faithful to you, even when you are unfaithful to God. Just think about that for a second. You know, I don't want to get into can you lose your salvation this morning. I think there's you can deliberately jump. But the Bible clearly says God does not let you out the palm of his hand. He's got hold of you. Can you completely reject him? Hebrews seems to say yes. But that's not just because you have a tough year. That's not just because you go through a time of incredible doubt or incredible drought. When was the last time God spoke to you? I've had this verse running through my head over the summer. But that's about it. You know, I've not had angel choirs. I've not been on, you know, you go on holiday, don't you? And you think, I find holidays, I love them. I could do it for a living. And, you know, I love being in the sea. So I'm in the sea off the coast of Cornwall, and the sky is blue on those 2 days. And on one of them, the sky is blue. And I'm on my bodyboard, and I'm just kind of I've got my feet on the board because I'm, you know, I know I'm 50, but I'm live. And I've got my feet on the board and I'm bobbing up and down and I'm looking at the sky. And that just blows me away. Just the wonder of who God is. And I'm worshipping. I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for this. Just grateful. But I don't feel anything come back. You know, I'm not saying I'm in a terrible drought, but it's just, that's just normal, right? We don't always hear God. But what the Bible says was he is always faithful. And even when we are in that time of drought, he's always faithful. He's with us. Remember, God is faithful to his family. Sometimes I think we need to be tough as Christians. And we need to come back to the Lord and say, where are you? Lord, where are you? You promised me this. Where are you? And we'll get to that in a second. I'm jumping ahead. Remember, God is faithful to his family. Remember, though, it's okay to be human. It is okay to be human. Abraham is a great example of that. He is very, very human. In fact, sometimes he's a bit odd. But he's very human. You'll know the story, or those of you who've been in church for a long time, you'll know the story that when Abraham meets these three men, interesting that, isn't it? A bit Trinitarian. And they speak over him and they say, you will be the father of nations. And Abraham says, but I'm as good as dead, Paul calls him. That's a great line, isn't it? How are you doing this morning? Oh, I'm as good as dead. But I'm not dead. I think that's quite good. But anyway, he's as good as dead. And the story says that Sarah laughs. And you know that, don't you? Yeah. That Sarah laughs. And she gets a bit of grief for that, doesn't she? But what we often miss is in Genesis 17, where God speaks to Abraham again, and he falls at the feet of God. Some of you have had that experience where you've been prayed for, and you fall down because you're just overwhelmed by the presence. As he falls, overwhelmed by the presence, he laughs. Just like Sarah laughed. She gets the blame, I think, but he's just the same. Can God really do this? Can he really? It's okay to have doubt. In fact, Abraham's faith only exists in a place of doubt. That's why it's called faith, isn't it? You know, if otherwise you'd just be like, oh yeah, this is sure. I can prove it all by science and all that kind of malarkey. Faith is something that you have to put in place when you are not sure, isn't it? When things are doubtful. No, I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to trust him for my life. I'm going to trust him for my family. I'm going to trust him for my job. I'm going to trust him for my health. I'm going to trust Jesus. It's okay to be human. Paul says in verse 20 that Abraham, we didn't read it, but he says Abraham did not waver. I love that. Because if you read Genesis, he seems to waver quite a bit, doesn't he? And listen, Paul is not some half-educated guy. He is a Hebrew of Hebrews. He knows the scripture back to front. He's probably learned huge chunks of it. He knows the story of Abraham. He knows what he's gone through. And yet he says he did not waver. I love that. Because he's looking at all of his foibles and going, and yet he trusts God. That gives us encouragement, doesn't it, this morning? That when I'm doubtful, when I'm difficult, when I'm sinful, on the last day, what does the Lord see? He sees a man who did not waver because of the grace of God, because of the faith I have in Jesus. Remember, it's okay to be human. And remember, God has not finished yet. You might be as good as dead, but you're not. Which means he's got time. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It means he's got time. What are you clinging on to? I think about these promises to Abraham about land and nations and people. And he saw a little bit of that. He only saw a little bit of it. And yet the promise comes into life. What, 6,000 years after his death? You know, he sees it, you know, that we see it, amazing thing. But he does see life. He does see the promise come. And if you're sitting in that place now where God has promised you something and it has not yet come, let's get back to that place. Let's get on our knees. Let's try fasting. Jesus says when you fast, not if. It's a bit out of vogue, isn't it, fasting? But let's get back to that place where we're saying, God, you have promised me this. Let's be that persistent widow who knocks on the door saying, God, you have promised me this. Where is it? Now, I'm not talking about your wishful thinking.
I'm talking about those words that have come time and time and time again. In all sorts of ways, through all sorts of people, through sermons and Bible readings and experiences. And you know that God has promised this to you. And that might be about your children, it might be about the children you don't yet have. It might be about your marriage, it might be the marriage you don't yet have. It might be about your health, it might be about your future. What has God spoken to you? He is the God who can bring something out of nothing. We sometimes look and go, how can God do this now? That is the story of Abraham. How can God do this now? Because he is the God who brings something out of nothing. He's the God who brings the dead to life. And we're not even dead. Remember, God has not finished. Now, I don't have a great memory. I'm quite good at names. But apart from that, names and faces, brilliant. But apart from that, if I'm going shopping and I don't have a list, I forget stuff. I buy other things. Ooh, a chainsaw. Lovely. But you went for milk. You know that thing? I have to write things down. On a Sunday morning, I have to have a list. You ever see Ange lead on a Sunday morning? She writes the things down and she leaves a list. I'm nervous about that. Her list's not even anywhere near her. It's like she can remember. Crazy kind of voodoo. Or she's just got a memory. But I'm not very good. I need to write the things down that God is saying. I journal a couple of times a week. What is God saying? I write down what I'm feeling. I write down all sorts of stuff. Because I want to see when God is moving. Sometimes we forget. We pray these things and God does the thing and we forget to give him praise even. What is God saying to you this morning? What do you need to write down on your phone, on a bit of paper? What do you need to write down when you get home? What is the promise that God has promised you and you have not yet seen it? He's the God who brings something out of nothing. What is God saying to you this morning? What are you going to do about it? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray this morning for your people here that we would have faith in you, that we would trust you, and Lord, that we would be ready to receive what you've got for us. Lord, I thank you for your word, that even when we don't know where it is, it's buzzing around in our heads. Lord, I thank you that your scripture says your word does not return empty, but it fulfills everything that you set out for it to do. So Lord, this morning I pray that the bits of this sermon that have been your word would fulfill what they set out to do. Lord God, I pray that you would speak into our lives, that we would see your glory, that we would see your wonder, that we would be full of faith, that it would be credited to us as righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.